Good morning, saints. Good morning, sinners. Whoa. Good morning, people of God. What a great joy it is to welcome you this day as we come into God's house as faithful servants, indeed to worship and to celebrate the gifts and the blessings that Almighty God showers upon us. And indeed, as we come together this day, may the presence of Christ and God's Spirit rest upon us all as we worship and seek to be faithful servants within God's world and God's kingdom. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbor.
Making your way back to your seats. Good morning, everyone. So nice to see you. We offer a warm welcome to all of you. And if you're a visitor with us today, we especially want to welcome you and hope that other members of the congregation will notice that you're visiting with us and make themselves known to you. There is a packet of information out in Northex that if you're a visitor, we'd invite you to take so that you could find out more about our church. Also, please don't forget to register with the red register pews at the end of the pew. We'd like to know if you were here today. Under announcements, Diane does have an announcement.
In your bulletin, there's a little green slip of paper. 2 weeks from now, on the 11th, will be Music Sunday, and I want you to have an important part of that. So if you would write down on that slip of paper your favorite hymn or hymns from either the red book or the black one that's in the pews, and stick it in the offering plate or bring it up to me after the church service, and we'll take the most popular ones and use them in 2 weeks. So make sure you're here to hear your hymn.
Thank you, Diane. Also, an announcement for today. There will be no youth group meeting today. Youth will meet next Sunday, October the 4th, at 2:30 at our church for transport to the Greensburg District Youth Event at Jamonville. All youth and their friends are invited. Information and permission slips can be found in the hanging folders by the side glass doors. So there will be no group meeting today. Please take time to look through your bulletin to see if there's anything of interest to you. And if it is, please take advantage of the services and the events that we have at the church. Now let us prepare our hearts and our minds to worship our Lord.
Thank you.
Please stand for the call to worship and remain standing through our hymn of praise. It's going to change a little bit after our opening prayer. You may be seated. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side when the weather patterns changed and tornadoes and hurricanes and wildflowers came out of nowhere, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side when the flood waters came into our homes and flooded our fields, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side when life happened and things did not go as we planned,
where would we be? How would we make it through?
Let us worship the one who is always on our side. And our opening prayer. God,
when we hear the daily news, it is easy to think that life is a valley of sorrows filled with tears. Remind us through the stories of survivors that you are with us always and that your love for us never fails. We celebrate the times when heaven and earth meet, the times when we break our lives in ways that make us explain. If it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, thank you for a love that transcends calamity, a love that lifts up those who suffer, a love that frees the lips to rejoice. Amen.
Please be seated.
I don't think I ever remember there being, well, at the early service, so many lap blankets and prayer shawls and hats for the children. When I first saw these little hats, I thought, aren't these things cute? And so ladies, mostly ladies, although there's a gentleman that's learning how to crochet, have been busy over the last few months in knitting and crocheting, sewing and quilting, so that these items might reach those who are in need. If you look on them, there's a on the quilts or the blankets, there's an attachment, a card, and on the back there's a list of colors and what each color signifies in the healing presence of Christ. And so if you have a specific need, take a look at those colors and then find one that matches. Those are welcome to go wherever, family members, friends, church members, someone that is in need of God's presence and healing. Take one of these blankets to them, quilts to them, and indeed might they know that God's presence is upon them. So as we dedicate these, let us unite our hearts and our spirits as we pray together. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the hearts that have been given to you and the hands that have been involved in knitting and crocheting and quilting. All of these, O God, are gifts for others, to be used to bring comfort and peace and love and healing. And so we pray for the children upon whose heads these hats will go. We pray for the shoulders, the bodies, the laps upon whom these prayer shawls and these blankets will rest. Prayers, O God, have gone out as they have been made. And we dedicate them to you, for the healing of nations, for the healing of individuals. Oh God, your comfort, your peace, your healing power and presence, we pray, might rest within these blankets and prayer shawls and radiate forth to those individuals that receive them. For this, oh God, we ask and pray in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. Our dedication hymn number 143, On Eagle's Wing.
And God.
opening hymn, number 110, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Seated. Well, how is everyone doing today? Good week at school? Any tests? Class pets? What do you have?
Turtles.
Oh, do you give them hugs? No, I don't think you can give a turtle a hug very well. It would be, is it a one in water or a land turtle? One in the water. And what? Two in the water. And what do you feed them? Not sure. No? You'll have to ask her what kind of turtle food do turtles get. Now, In the scripture today, Jesus talks about giving somebody a drink of water. Do you have to give that turtle a drink of water? No, because it lives in the water. But if it lived on land, it would need water. Do you have a cat or a dog, anybody? Do you have to give them water at home? Does your doggy get a dish of water? It just drinks out of the toilet. That's another option, I know. Yeah, it gets a water dish. Yes, so does ours. Yes. And do you get a drink of water? Yeah, do you like milk? Chocolate milk? Yes. Is that your favorite, chocolate milk over white milk? Mm-hmm. What else do you like to drink? Lemonade? Juice? Do you have a favorite juice? Apple juice. Apple cider, that's coming out right now, isn't it? I saw some hot chocolate. That'll be a good one right now. I like grape juice. I like to take my hot chocolate and dunk toast with grape jelly on it. In it.
Cinnamon and sugar.
Anybody else? No? Okay, I see it. There's a few hands that would admit it. Yes, that was our breakfast some mornings before school. Yes. And, you know, Jesus says when we give a cup of water to someone, that we also do it to Jesus. When we're nice to one person, we're nice also to Jesus, even though we didn't even know it. And when we're not nice to someone, we're not nice to Jesus. So everything that we do, when we do nice things, we also make God happy. When we do bad things, we make God sad. Every day. So remember to do those good things that make God and Jesus happy. Let's bow for prayer. Lord God, we are thankful for these, our children. Your children. Continue to bless them that as they do good things, they might learn that it's also for you. Be with all of those who care for them, for we pray that these children might live and grow in you and for you. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. If you're collecting for an agency today that helps people that, well, maybe they need help with their bills or food or things like that.
Where doubt enters,
Our scripture reading today is taken from the book of James, the 5th chapter, 13 through 20, as James continues to teach those about Jesus. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that they may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The ushers may come forward as we present our tithes to God and our offerings. Redeemer, you give new life through your word and spirit. We are grateful that you continually teach us the best way to live. Your wisdom is more precious than riches and sweeter than honey. Order our heart's desires according to your will. May these offerings uphold our church's ministries that help people to know and follow Christ, your Son. Amen.
Please be seated. We come now to the time in our service to lift up joys and concerns for individuals and situations in our midst. If you turn on the back of our worship folder this morning, you will see our prayer list there. Laura hospitalized those in personal care and rehabilitation centers, those that we continually pray for, as well as this month that we rotate on and off, and then our service personnel are there as well. Also, to remember the family of Jason Thompson, I will be doing his funeral this Tuesday morning, 34 years old. So we to grieve with his family as well. And also pray for those, here it says Christians who are being tortured, raped, murdered in the Mideast. So persecution of Christians for around the world. All we need to do is turn on the news as well, and we see where there are a multitude of situations, even the multitude of families that are grieving the loss of that stampede where over 700 were killed and how many hundreds were injured. And, of course, with just forest fires that are around, and I know there's some flooding down south, and so a multitude of individuals that are experiencing changes in their lives, to remember to keep them in our prayers. Our prayer hymn this morning is number 396, O Jesus, I Have Promised.
Thank you.
gracious and loving God, into your home we come today. And you greet us. You welcome us. You invite us to come in. To ponder your holy presence. To receive your grace and forgiveness. To hear your holy words proclaimed. To sing the songs that bring honor and glory to you. Oh God, we pray that your Spirit might bless and anoint our spirits and our bodies. That by being here in your presence, we might feel and experience a sense of peace, a sense of being nurtured, a sense of health and wholeness. That we might experience your good news. For you, O God, are the one who comes to us. You are the one who blesses and anoints us with a multitude of gifts from your Holy Spirit. And you then are the one who calls us and sends us into the world. To those individuals outside the walls of the church. Oh God, as we come, we are mindful that we've not always done it right. We've not always lived out our lives according to your will. We have said things, we've done things, we've thought things that have separated us not only from you, but from others. Oh God, we pray for your healing presence. We know that there are those who are lost, those who are searching. Those, oh God, who seem, individuals who seem to have it all, and yet there's no sense of purpose or direction in their lives because their life is not intertwined with you. And there are those, O God, who go through the motions and yet have not experienced your holy presence and peace and the comfort that can only come from you. O God, we are mindful of those individuals, those situations that we've voiced this day. You know, O God, the names of individuals, situations upon our hearts that for various reasons right now cannot be made public. O God, we pray for the mission and ministry of each family and individual that is represented here today. We are grateful for those things that take place through the church, through the walls of this congregation, but we are also grateful for those missions and ministries that happen outside the walls of the church. Oh God, we pray that as we live into this week, that our minds might be sharp and our hearts might be soft to your people, to those whom you will send us to. Oh God, we ask and pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, as we share together in the prayer Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you are able, I would invite you to stand as we hear these words for us today from the Gospel of Mark. John, Jesus' disciple, said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better if you had a great millstone that were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 and be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, for these words of Scripture, for their teaching and claim upon our lives, we are grateful. For all of your words, O God, that we've heard this day, we pray that they might take root within our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. And now, O God, give us a sense of peace, rest, and comfort from the activities of our daily lives and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts bring honor and glory to you. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. This is an interesting passage of Scripture. Of course, I always wonder how those who take the Scriptures literally word for word deal with this passage, because I've yet to see anyone with a hand missing, an eye missing, and a foot cut off. But Jesus shares with us the seriousness of sin. Those are some of the difficult lines. The easy lines are, someone gives you a cup of water in my name, and Tex Evans started the whole Appalachia Service Project ministry based upon giving someone a cup of cold water and making sure that homes were warmer, safer, and drier, very much like the ministry that this church does when we go to Philippi. This was the passage I was going to preach on, but this has been one of those weeks where, well, Tuesday I had an all-day seminar, Wednesday I had a funeral, Friday I had an all-day seminar, and Saturday I had an all-day seminar. And in the midst of yesterday's seminar, as Dr. Stephen Toole from Pittsburgh Theological Seminary was teaching, I thought, I think the sermon's going to get changed. And so I got back to my office at 4 yesterday afternoon and had a service at 6 last evening. So we'll see how this goes. How many of you have watched anything this past week concerning Pope Francis? Anybody watch the program last night dealing with families from around the world? I don't know about you, but I prayed for the Pope as he sat through that. Ugh. And I don't know about you, if you like Aretha Franklin, okay, but she sung last night, and I'm sorry, but she butchered Amazing Grace. Oh, I didn't realize somebody could make the first verse of Amazing Grace last 10 minutes. It was painful. It was. And I don't know, but if I were asked to sing in the presence of the Pope, when others were done singing and speaking, they turned and they were graced to be able to go into the Pope's presence and to receive a blessing and a gift. Aretha Franklin, I worked on something else. I had to quit. Leanna says she just walked off. Well, the Pope has stirred some information in the life of the churches. To be able to have that one individual that stands for Christ, that stands for the church around the whole world. I understand I didn't see when he addressed Congress. I might have to rewatch or find that. I'm sure it's on YouTube. But I understand that as he spoke before Congress, he addressed some of these issues. Climate change, abolishing the death penalty, abortion, same-sex marriage, Iran and Cuba, the refugee crisis, immigration, poverty, the arms trade, religious fundamentalism. And we all know that he made some life-changing, stirring decisions. Well, some individuals did after they had stood and sat in the Pope's presence. Yesterday, Dr. Stephen Toole said that when he was looking over some information, that he came upon a columnist who said, in essence, "I wish the Pope would only stick to biblical things." What are our biblical things to stick to? What are we as Christians to be about? Are we to be about the stewardship of the whole world? Did not God say to be good stewards of it? Does not God challenge us to have our fingers in a little bit of everything around the world? Some of the one-liners I picked up from Pope Francis. "You pray for the hungry, and then you feed them. That is how prayer works." How often do we want to pray and then sit back and do nothing? Pope Francis also said, "To change the world, we must be good to those who cannot repay us." I think Jesus said the same thing in some of his parables. I love this one, though. "God is not afraid of new things." As I was reflecting on the Pope, I thought, 70-some years ago, he was born just like you and me. And his mom would have received him in a blanket, counted 10 fingers and 10 toes, should have fed him, changed his diaper, cared for him, nurtured him, raised him up in the life of the church. And probably she was beaming when he felt God's call upon his life and he entered the priesthood. But little did she know, or probably little did he know, that he would be voted upon someday to be the leader, the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. Never dreaming that he would hold such a power of a position of power and influence and spiritual influence on the lives of so many millions of people. But folks, you and I are called into the ministry as well. We have in the United Methodist Church what we refer to as the ministry of all believers. It's not a comment of when God calls you, it's a matter of when God calls you. And when God calls us, we are equipped with gifts and tools from God's Holy Spirit to enable us to do what God calls us to do. If we flip into Judges, the fourth chapter, Israel has been led out of slavery from the land of Egypt for some 500 years. They've wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, and they have arrived into the promised land. And they're still doing that cyclical thing that they tend to do from faithfulness and obedience, where they cannot be overthrown and they are an absolute world power. And then they become trusting in themselves and they get overthrown. And then a judge would arise and they would have peaceful time, and they would continue that cycle over and over again of faithfulness and unfaithfulness, very much like we do today if we would write a cycle and a journal of our own days. But chapter 4 in Judges, we read these words: at this time, the prophetess Deborah was judging Israel. She used to sit under a palm tree, and she sent and summoned Barak, son of Abinadab. And she said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, commands. Go, march on Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 Naphtalites and Zebulunites. I will lead Sisera, the general of the enemy's army, out to you at the Wadi Kishon. And together with his chariots and troops, and I will deliver them into your power." Now, it's fascinating in this time period that a woman was being used to tell the men and the generals of the army what to do, but they had a sense of trust. But Barak, he wanted to know that she was on board with this plan, and he said to her, "If you come with me, I will go. But if you don't come with me, I'm not going." And Deborah says, "I will certainly go with you. But you need to know that the glory of this victory now, because you doubted my presence, is not going to you, but the victory of this battle is going to go to to another woman." I'll let you read the rest of the story, how that happens. But Deborah is joined by the commander, and indeed the enemy's army is overthrown, and there is an experiencing of 40 years of peace because she listened to the word of God. If we flip over to the book of Isaiah, to the calling of the prophet of Isaiah in the sixth chapter, we read these words: that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and just the hem of his robe filled the temple. And seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, two they covered their bodies, and with two they flew. And one called to another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." And Isaiah said, "Woe is me. I must be lost. I'm in a place where I should not be. I am a man of unclean lips. I'm living among people of unclean lips, and yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then one of the seraphs flew to Isaiah with a set of tongs and a hot coal and touched his lips, his mouth, and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt is gone and your sin has been blotted out and forgotten." And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And so I said, "Well, here I am, send me." And God said, "Go and say this to the people." The prophet Jeremiah was sent to bear sometimes good words and sometimes words that just were not well received. But Jeremiah was faithful to the calling that God had upon his life. The first chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I anointed you a prophet to the nations," plural. "And then I said, ah, Lord God, truly, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." And even though Jeremiah felt that he was a young boy relative to the calling of Almighty God, God said, "I am with you, I go with you, and I will deliver you as you go as a prophet, speaking words of peace and condemnation to the nations." And then we have the calling of Ezekiel. Again, the first chapter. Hold on to your seats. "As I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the earth beside the living creatures, one for each of the four of them. As for the appearance of the wheels and their construction, their appearance was like the gleaming of beryl. And the four had the same form, their construction being something like a wheel within a wheel. And when they moved in any of the four directions without veering as they moved. Their rims were tall and awesome, for the rims of all four were full of eyes all around. When the living creatures moved, the wheels moved beside them. And when the living creatures rose from the earth, the wheels rose. Wherever the spirit would go, they went, and the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. And then they moved, the others moved, and when they stopped, the others stopped. And when they rose from the earth, the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels." Everybody have a clear picture? Stephen Toole yesterday said that he's had conversations with people in the past, and people will say, "Just what do you think Ezekiel was smoking?" But he said the essence of this passage is, if you remember in Israelite history, that the belief was that gods, small letter G, were gods of geographical locations. And then comes along
Yahweh, capital G. But even for the Israelite nation, their belief is that God was contained in the ark. And when the ark was with them, they were invincible. But when the ark was gone and removed, well, the presence of God was removed. And they were learning that God is everywhere. And this vision that Ezekiel was having with the throne of God on wheels meant that the throne of God moved wherever it wanted to. That the throne of God indeed is with us every single day. What does it mean as we have our calling from God and are gifted with mission and ministry? Stephen Toole started the morning session yesterday by sharing a little clip, at least for us visually, from the movie Jaws. You remember that movie when Captain Brody is out on the orca with the captain of the ship. I don't remember his name, the captain of the boat. And they're out there at sea, and Brody is chumming. And as he's chumming, and I think there's some conversation going on between the captain and the sergeant, and suddenly the sergeant realizes he is face to face with this huge, huge shark named Jaws. That big bullet-shaped head, those coal black eyes, that huge mouth opened with row after row after row of huge, incredibly sharp teeth. And Sergeant Brody stumbles and finds his way into the cabin and says to the captain, "We need a bigger boat." Our challenge is that as God calls us and as God equips us, that we will need a bigger boat. That as we go into the world, we might be reformers, that we might be concerned about God's creation, to be faithful to our calling, to be a part of that team of disciples, that team of servants of Jesus Christ in the world. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for your calling and claim upon our lives and the lives of people around the world. Continue, O God, to bless us and anoint us. Continue to empower us with the gifts of your Holy Spirit. O God, may we know that when we go, that we are never alone, and that you are already there preparing the way. For it's in Christ our Lord that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is found in the little black book, Faith We Sing, number 2149, Living for Jesus.
Gracious and loving God, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, we give ourselves to you. And now as we go into the world, blessed and anointed by your Holy Spirit, gifted with gifts, may we all live for you. For we go in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.